We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Listen up, Aggies, because College Station just got a whole lot more comfortable. Mizzen and Maine is known for making the world's best performance fabric dress shirt, but now they've got something comfortable for every hanger in your closet. Shop their workday and weekend clothing that includes pants, polos, and pullovers at mizzenandmaine.com. And Andrew, they got some golf apparel, too, over there.
They got a lot of golf apparel.
That's right.
A lot of that apparel. Yeah.
That's right.
Is that a segue, my friend?
Sometimes I try those. Sometimes they go better than some go better than others. But we're going to see how this one works, because we transition into our conversation with our head women's golf coach Garrett Chadwell here at Texas A&M, and what a season he and the Aggies are coming off of. They made essentially the final four of women's golf. Because if you haven't caught on to how collegiate golf works now, what they've done with it recently is just fantastic. Stroke play begins, the NCAA championships, top eight qualify for match play, and then it's a tournament. And then it's a March Madness-type bracket the rest of the way. The Aggies won in the opening round of match play to get to the final four. And so we thought it was time to get Short Game G in
right
here
on.
To discuss it. Now, this guy likes to strike while the iron's hot, so I think you landed from Scottsdale in the NCAA championships and went out recruiting, and you got to pretty much say, hey, did you see us? Did you see us?
We had some good brand awareness on national TV, and so yeah. I wanted to make sure everybody kept seeing that hat and the smile from our week. But from Father's Day is coming up. Mizzen and Maine is great stuff.
Ooh.
So, babe, I don't know if you're listening, but
yeah.
I love Mizzen and Maine.
Okay.
So.
That wasn't out to everyone. That wasn't just out.
That was
absolutely personal.
Yep. Yeah. Dad loves Mizzen
June
and Maine.
June 19th, okay. Yeah. Okay. It's our day. We get one of 365. We got to.
Yep. Yep.
All right.
I love. You talked about. I love Golf Channel has embraced it.
Yes.
Because after our games, I'm running right back to my hotel and Golf Channel's on.
Mm-hmm. So
I am just watching and just loving this. Because as our game's going on, I'm seeing what we're doing. And I'm like, okay, let me go watch this. Fantastic. What a season.
What
congratulations.
A season. Thanks, man. I'll take a little bit of kind of behind the scenes of what was going on during the week is, you know, we meet after every round or before every round and kind of had a game plan going in. But we did have a great year. And based on where the program has been, we weren't a national story. And I thought the girls had been a little bit disrespected from rankings throughout the year and just what they had done, taking the program from where it had been to where it was this year. And so I literally just said, make them say our name this week. Like if they say our name this week, we're going to be in great shape. And that's what we I left with every team meeting at night. Just make them say our name, and they said our name a lot. So I'm just so happy for them of now. I was saying this yesterday of just the stories that they're going to be able to tell from the week, and every time they come back to A&M for a football game and get together for reunions and everything, just that week, they'll be able to talk about it for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you don't get to where you guys did, and I'll say it again, you got to the Final Four without an embracing of each other. And we were just talking to baseball players here, and it's their first year with a new coaching staff and newcomers. There's a lot of dynamics coming together, and they embraced each other quickly. This team did it as well. There was an embracing of each other,
to help you get to this
Final Four.
Last year wasn't very good for the program, and then you add three new faces that have played good college golf with Haley, Zoe, and Jenny. And so, women, don't take me wrong for saying this. You bring competition into the fold, mm-hmm. and it upsets a lot of people because people are comfortable. I used to be able to shoot this to travel to tournaments. Now I know I have to bring it every day. And that is what I wanted to do first, was elevate the bar to get on the road. And as iron sharpens iron, it was more competitive at home. But sometimes that's tough to stomach. And also embrace them as a teammate, mm-hmm. And love each other, support each other, and everything else. And the ladies did that. I know it wasn't comfortable at the start. And our lineup changed. Goodness gracious, out of nine tournaments, it probably changed seven times. So everybody was still getting to play from some way, shape, or form. But we finally kind of got a good five that really gelled together through bad golf, because when you play good, it's easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they finally gelled together. And I said this in the spring. Something happened in January at our match, and it was we'd actually taken six, but we had a five that, man, really gelled together, and you could see that happening, the belief, and had a good spring. And our regional, that final round in regionals, when our backs were against the wall – and they turned it loose. That's when they finally started to believe everything we were saying to them. And believe it or not, the week of the national championship was the easiest week I've ever had coaching.
Really?
I had a team that believed in each other. I had a team that was playing good golf. All we did was give them a game plan and get out of the way. Mm-hmm. And they even, on the plane ride home, I mean, they talked about it. They're like, man, you were just in a different place. And I was like, well, it wasn't that we had won by arriving there. I just knew, I saw it, that you guys had finally believed everything that we were telling you. You did something hard by coming from behind and getting to the national championship, that the rest was, I mean, we just had to get out of the way and make sure you guys were well rested and everything else. So the national championship, Brandon might agree. We had a good horse that week, and man, did it run, you know? So, that was the easiest week, other than that was the first time I'd really been in match play and really having to think, oh, just don't screw it up by putting some matches that maybe not go right. But I felt pretty comfortable how we rolled out in match play too. So
when you say that belief, the mm-hmm. belief in you, obviously, because you're bringing them in,
mm-hmm.
your belief in them,
mm-hmm.
their belief in one another, mm-hmm. but their belief in themselves?
Belief themselves. And less is more sometimes when you have a talented group like this. So if we played bad, we didn't change anything. We stayed consistent in our message really since August. But just harping on a couple things over and over and over and over. When we played good, what worked? And when we played bad, what didn't work? And it was the same things that made us play good, that made us play bad. So we just stayed consistent in our message, and they finally saw it work in Nashville. So, and what a day that was. The national championship week is so crazy. It's literally three tournaments mm-hmm. that we play throughout the year in one.
Mm-hmm.
But I go back to that regional and just the emotion after that, and seeing that was just almost even more than, you know, playing well, getting into 15, getting into 8, and then winning our first match. That regional was an awesome week.
Well, the regional, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it came down to a Duke putt.
Yeah.
Last yep. player on 18. If she makes that, are you in a playoff?
We're in a playoff.
Right, yeah.
And it was a great learning moment for our bunch. We had played so well that day. and actually threw a bunch of shots away coming in. Ginny was battling for a win individually, which she hasn't had ever, I don't think, in her college career. And the last couple holes weren't hard. We were just playing so good. Zoe was bogey-free, 9-under, 8-under, and makes a bad bogey on 18s, a par 5. We had a couple bogeys on par 5 on 18. But I knew that based on past experiences that we had kind of spent all of our cushion based on our finish was so bad. And you had a great Duke team out there that that hadn't played good that day, but you expect them to close because they're so good. We get off the golf course and everybody's crying, sad. And I'm like, what? I mean, and it's women. I said, what are y'all so upset for? We were just great. Like, we did everything we could.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing to be sad about your finish, your performance that day, but you guys have to wrap your head around right now being in a playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you can't see that for the next hour and a half, but you have got to get your mind wrapped around our work is not done. It's going to come down to a shot or two. And so we get them kind of away from 18 green, go eat lunch. The Vanderbilt coach is a great friend of mine, so he was kind of texting me good and bad what was happening, because it's just nerve-wracking watching a scoreboard and there's nothing you can do about
right.
it. And the girls were on that, and so finally, you know, I walked up to 18 green so I could kind of, from a real-time thing, get the girls warmed up and what we need to do. So I take off, and I'm sitting up kind of away from 18 green and tell Gio, you know, have them, you know, kind of start to get warmed up. No rush, but just kind of get moving and get their mind off of what's going on. And I'll be darned if it's not 10, 15 minutes later, I look and there they are around 18 green. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what are we doing?
Oh,
like, and it's just, they haven't been that situation, but here you are hoping for something bad to happen for you to have potentially an opportunity to advance. And
yeah.
you just can't go from dejection to being ready to fight for a spot in a playoff
mm-hmm.
like that.
Yeah.
Whereas Duke is going to be elated because they actually yeah. survived and get into
right.
that. So I told him to get away from 18 green. Plus, I don't want to celebrate right if something bad
Correct.
Happens for another team.
Correct.
So send them up to the putting green, which you can see right down to 18 green, and they're not practicing. They're just watching. And I'll tell you what, the next to last Duke girl had probably about a 15, 20-foot putt and hit an amazing putt that I thought was going in, and that would have tied.
Mm.
And you had their best player coming in. And she missed about, a 6 to 8 footer that was really good too, just hit it too hard. And I have been on that side of the coin. My first couple year at Houston, we got beat by a shot. A girl from BYU made a birdie on the last hole, and I had a girl make a 9 on that hole.
Mm.
So I've been on that side of it where, man, I just feel so sorry for the kid. But she did everything right. You know, it's not just that one shot that let her team down, but
right.
we gave them time and went up and talked to her and their coaches, and they were very complimentary. And but it just wasn't the best way for us to handle it. And I think it was good for the girls to learn from that. You watch a tour event, the guy's not standing on next 18 green wishing bad for the guys
yeah.
to finish bad. He's warming up, range. Getting ready for a
yeah.
playoff. So
right.
so it was a good learning moment for us, and
yeah.
and thankfully it didn't happen.
And that becomes the big thing. That is all those learning
yes.
moments from this entire run, isn't it?
That's all you're asking for. And you know, we'll eventually probably hop on a Zoom with the girls this summer and relive a lot of that, because I want to. It's so our run. It literally we got off the plane and that was it. Like, I don't see them for a while. So yeah. I want to be able to relive and talk about that through next year and celebrate it. But I do. We'll hop on a Zoom something soon and talk about the things we learned, because if I can get this group to do anything right, it's bring these younger girls along too.
Right.
If you do, because everybody was so – after we got beat by Oregon, every single girl came up to me and hugged and cried and said, I'm sorry. And I was like, once again, there's nothing to be sorry about. We got off the plane and I was like, the only thing we can be sorry about is if we don't do what we need to do to get back here. And that is, I think, the biggest thing we need to do, because obviously we're good enough, but at some point we're going to have a turnover in our roster, and it's your guys' an experienced group to bring these younger ladies along and share with these things that we learned and hold them accountable and not regress from
mm-hmm.
from what we have learned.
But it's the culture you've built. It's now the standard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now the expectations that they will be talking about Texas A&M
100%. It was something else since then. I don't think the young ladies understand what that week did for our program. Our side of the office, it's been 7 years since we'd been back there. I think we had the greatest year, not week, in program history. Mm-hmm. But the guys have been very successful. You got a national championship in, I think, 2009. JT did a great job. Brian has taken over doing a great job, and they've got great classes coming in. There's no reason A&M Golf should not be a national brand. And that was a huge step for us to do that. Mm-hmm. We're not really associated as a golf school. Mm-hmm. But there's no reason we can't be, and that's Brian and I's mission to make sure that happens. In the greatest state in the country, kids play year-round. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a in-state presence on our roster. So that was huge for us. And as Will said, it's like literally came back and hopped on a plane and went out there. It was amazing, the young ladies that never would have known what the Block T or the Lone Star A&M was like, mm-hmm. for that week. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to see now, going out watching junior golf, everybody recognizes, mm-hmm. the logo. Yeah. So it's huge for us.
And I think about another thing, watching the run that you guys had at Scottsdale, that one of the – I say this, and I want to see how you feel, mm-hmm. about it. One of the best adjustments or decisions a collegiate sport has ever made is to do this type of postseason in collegiate golf, because if anybody could have watched us back here, watching you guys out in Scottsdale, I mean – you know, where first of all, you have to qualify for checkpoints throughout. Mm-hmm. You play three rounds, you got to be in the top 15. Mm-hmm. You play that fourth round, you've got to be in the top eight. Now you're in a bracket, you got to win the first round, mm-hmm. to get to the. You, mm-hmm. go through. You're, as some might say, you're always on a bubble. Mm-hmm. Every moment you go out there, so your fans ride that with you. And we're watching the Golf Channel, and they'll show maybe a Stanford or San Jose State player, and we're screaming, get back to Zoe and show me Jenny. And I'm like, well, yeah. What are, yeah. you doing? So, I mean, and so we all got to ride that, mm-hmm. with you, so to speak. I get we're not right there on the ground, mm-hmm. with you, but Aggies got to see this.
So cool.
And the format, and to have this televised, and that allows you to bring that brand to the nation. It really was brilliant for collegiate golf,
it's
wasn't
huge.
It?
And it's – It's interesting that we don't have very much match play throughout the year. SEC championship is decided by match play now, and some things are going to that to try and recreate the national championship week. But I think it's the best way to showcase our sport and to tell a story. When I was growing up, it was 72 holes to determine a national champion. Mm-hmm. But it brings a lot of drama. It allows for, you know, maybe not the number one team in the country to have a chance, because anything can happen in match play. Mm-hmm. It's hole by hole. All you got to get to three. Your number five is just as important as your number one, because, mm-hmm. that number five can win all their matches and win a national championship, mm-hmm. for you. So I think it adds a little more parity to our sport. But it's very similar to March Madness. You can, mm-hmm. have a Cinderella. You can have somebody run. The bracket just works out right, and they get to it. But match play is crazy. The ebbs and flows of it. It's just as hard to win a match as just to get, you know, beat in a match, because it's hard to close them out, because you can kind of see that finish line. Mm-hmm. Match play is it's exciting, and it happens. It seems like it happens so fast. I had walked with to go through our week. We got a really good draw. We played early on Friday, and the wind got really hard Friday afternoon. So we're able to get off to a good start. We always have had a bad round in a 54-hole event. And it's really why we haven't won very many tournaments throughout the regular season. We had a bunch of runner-ups. We had, I mean, every tournament except for one was a top-five finish. But our bad round was always just bad enough to just be too far away to really catch the leader. Mm. And our bad round, again, was the middle round. But it wasn't as bad. Mm-hmm. And so I think once we survived that, and it was kind of a sigh of relief, then we shot even par the third round and gave us some cushion from eight. And then I'll be darned if we're not paired with Stanford or Oregon and go toe-to-toe with them and beat them on that stroke play day. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, if, you know, the hard part about the week is, and this is the only drawback, Will, to what everybody says about our national championship week. We normally play 54 holes to determine a regular season event. So you go 54 holes, then you add another stroke play day. It's late because you're playing in the afternoon because of TV. And then we were the last ones off the golf course, finished our team meeting at 8:30 p.m. and set an alarm for 3:45 a.m. to get up and literally play 36 holes that day. Gotcha. So it was a 15-hour day on top of everything that just transpired. So it's, if anything is going to happen or change, I can see him taking a stroke play day out 54. Maybe you bring more matches in, but it is, I had never been a part of like the afternoon matches, the semifinal matches, but everybody has said the golf is just so bad because kids are exhausted. And it was like, we had our chances in that match. We didn't play very well. I didn't think Oregon played very well. We had our chances to capitalize on their mistakes and just didn't. But the golf really wasn't that good in that match.
Maybe if you knock out a round of stroke play, you could play three rounds of match play in 3 days instead of three rounds.
That's what everybody's saying. And TV still gets what they want. Right. You could even – some there's people are saying, well, you know, just to get the experience and the coaches and everything else, you could add – 16 teams maybe, and you have two matches on that first match play day, and then you go one match, and play in the afternoon because we went West Coast to be on primetime TV. So it'll be interesting to see what comes about of it. But the it's an awesome week. But it's, you know, our training will change. Was met with our strength coach on Monday, what we're going to do to be to build up for that week and things we'll do throughout the year. So it was a great learning experience for us as a staff to see what we can do better to help us really honestly – to get through that week, but honestly, that first match play day. And it'll help us at SECs, too.
No doubt.
Excellent stuff.
Thank you.
Congratulations on a great year.
So happy for you.
It's
he's another coach who has embraced A&M. We've talked about this. It's kind of been like a subplot through all. You have flat out embraced this, and I'm just so happy.
It's been,
I don't think you've lost that smile since you
I haven't. You know, I wish it wouldn't have taken me 15 years to get here. I don't know if I have 15 more in me, but – as I said, told the girls that, you know, it, if we get in a match play, it'll be hard to get rid of. It's going to be hard for you guys to get rid of me around here. but heading over to baseball now to talk recruiting with Coach Box and Floss and I, those that staff is we've become really good friends, and they've embraced A&M, and obviously it has no – I mean, it's showed in their recruiting and everything else. But, man, what a great collective group of coaches that we brainstormed together. I think everybody understands we're part of something bigger than our sport. And that hasn't been at every place that I've been to.
Right.
But it's definitely in the water here. So my family's blessed, man. And I'm glad we could just feel like we played a part.
Fantastic. Thank
Great
you,
stuff. Guys. Always appreciate it.
Thank you, fellas.
You bet.
Yep.